This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Well, oh, there you go. Good morning. Good morning. Here's your ESPN Radio 3-day forecast brought to you by the Illini Inn. You know the drill.
Yep.
All sorts of appetizers, nachos, mozzarella sticks, beer battered, cheese curds, wings, grinders, burgers, pizzas.
Join the Mug Club if you go.
Join the Mug Club. You can sit with the elusive 100,000th member winner that we're still in search of.
And I'd suggest if you're going to join the Mug Club, go the day after you haven't been drinking and when you're really thirsty, because you got to like slam a beer in like two minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
And I had problems with it that day.
Really?
You wouldn't think.
Doubtful.
It was a long day.
Down that story.
Right now it's 26 and partly cloudy, not warm enough to melt the snow yet, but hang in there. Tomorrow's going to be 39 and sunny, Friday 40 and sunny, Saturday 42 and sunny, and Sunday 41 and sunny. So
the snow just kind of hanging around, though, isn't it?
The snow is hanging around 3 weeks before Thanksgiving, and it gets dark at 4, but I'll just leave that all where it is.
So
it's 26 and partly cloudy. ESPN Radio.
Feliz Navidad. Yeah, I'm in the Christmas mood already. You guys? No?
We got to get our intro back.
Kind of am. I'm usually one of those people that not until after Thanksgiving. No way. Not going to break on it.
But Arizona got you fired up for Christmas.
Arizona was playing Christmas music, then I come back to snow. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give in a little bit.
Would that be irony? Would it be ironic that you went to Arizona and got into a Christmas mood?
Yeah, that would be ironic.
I think I always misplace irony. It's the drive.
In regards,
etc. I say that a lot.
Interesting.
The drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise in studio. Alec actually did something today, and he typed up our, what do you call that?
He planned the show, essentially.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I might go off script a little bit here and there, but
okay,
it's pretty straightforward. It's good. It's good work.
I like this. I'm kidding you, Alec. You know we are. All right. It was signing day for a whole bunch of teams: men's golf, men's basketball, women's basketball, men's baseball at Illinois. A lot of stuff going on. I assume women's softball. I never did see any tweets on that. It's hard to keep up with all of it. But I did see, on a local note, Connor Milton from Champaign Central has signed on to play with Dan Hartlib's Illini baseball team. Congratulations to Connor and his family. I know Howard, of course, works over at the University of Illinois, so I know that is an exciting time for the Miltons. He is a heck of a baseball player and had a big junior year, so it'll be fun to watch him as a senior.
Softball signed three new recruits.
Yep. Do you have a list of like every signee? I know they signed a girl from Macon.
You're talking about just softball?
Blue Mound. No, just on everybody.
I don't have like a master list.
Okay.
The girl from Macon is Jessie DeMary.
Yeah, DeMary, I think.
Yeah, she signed with softball. She's a catcher.
So Brad Sturdy, of course, who we all know, coached her, I guess, at one point. So, way to go, Brad. Good stuff on that. So, a big day for a lot of recruits and a big day for a lot of families. And, of course, the coaches, all the hard work they put into this. Let's focus on the men's basketball team. And, Derek, I know you were over at the press conference with Brad Underwood. Dan Hartlib also spoke at that press conference. And the big one today for Illinois basketball, of course, they had Coleman Hawkins. He's going to sign a little bit later today at 5 o'clock. And then he's actually going to be in Champaign for a tournament, I think, a prep tournament. So he's going to find a place around here, was what I was reading on Twitter, and make it official there by having a little bit of a party. But we'll talk about Coleman Hawkins, Derek, but let's start with Andre Curbelo. I know we chatted all about him when he verbaled to Illinois, but for him to get the national letter of intent, not that we were any kind of worry about him not coming to Illinois, but there is always that, oh boy, let's get her done, and they get it done. Is he a four-year guy in your mind, and how effective will Andre Curbelo be with Illinois?
I think he's a four-year guy just based on his size. He's only 6'1", listed right now, I think 170, 175 pounds, someone that needs to add a little bit of weight. He's never going to be Andres Feliz as far as bullying people around, just different style of game. But his impact is going to be exceptional because of the fact, well, when you get 4 years to develop within a program, that's a big deal. And, I mean, sophomores are old in college basketball these days based on the type of players that go one and done and all that. But Andre is as gifted as of a passer as I've seen
wow.
on the circuit. And I, you know, I've seen Juwan Evans, Jalen Brunson, and today Brett Underwood talked about recruiting Trae Young a lot, which he did at Oklahoma State, and said that from a passing perspective, obviously Trey shoots the ball pretty well.
Like, he's
pretty good at that. And
yes, he does.
Andre Curbelo is not at that level, but from a passing perspective, Underwood said he's as good or better of a passer as Trae Young was coming up, which says a lot.
No, it says a lot. And Trevor, I want your help on this, but if Curbelo turns out to be as good of a passing point guard as we expect at Illinois, what would be the next comparison down the line with regards to somebody that has played at Illinois that was that skilled? D Brown, was he that skilled at passing the basketball? I mean, there is an art. You know who was really good at passing? Jeremy Richmond. Jeremy Richmond was a really good passer.
I think
Dimitri was
pretty high up on
Dimitri
the
McKamey
all-time.
One year was in the top 10 in the country in assists. Obviously, Frank Williams, very good passer.
Oh, yeah, true.
When they showed Cassius got his, like, I want to say, like, 1,000th or something, and they showed the top three, and Dimitri was in that.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the Big Ten or something.
Okay,
like so
Dimitri would be the next, or the closest one to that. I know you can go back in the day, like a Derek Harper or Bruce Douglas. Those guys really put
I mean,
up
recently,
some
big numbers. In my mind, Tijon Lucas pops in only because you had nobody for such a long stretch that that when you finally got Tijon and he started, you know, having a better flow to that offense, you
right.
thought, oh, my God, this is a godsend, even though.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, I think he's at Milwaukee now.
Yeah.
But.
By the way, my was not towards Tijon. I'm sorry. It was the fact that it took so long to get a point guard under John Gross and you finally got that.
How funny is that now that you can reel in top 100 guards each and every year, it seems like.
It's weird that, like, I know. I don't even know how to counter that. It's weird that all of a sudden, but I guess it just matters on the recruiting front. And let's talk about Orlando Antigua with this. And I know we've kind of, this is kind of a rehashing a lot of this, but I know Underwood said today that Curbelo may have been one of the first guys when Orlando Antigua was hired at Illinois, which would have been, what, three years ago? Was that right?
Yeah.
3 years ago? That Curbelo was one of the first guys that he went out to recruit. And think about that. For 3 years, they've been working on getting him. That's how you nail down some of these recruits, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before, but Orlando, having known Curbelo's dad and played professionally with him, but, Orlando would have been hired April of 2017.
Oh, wow.
And at that time, I asked Brad today, you know, you get hired, you're trying to figure out who's on your own team first, the roster you're inheriting.
Right.
The 2018 class is you got some guys committed like Trent Frazier, DeMonte Williams. I'll bring up some names you're not going to want to remember. You're trying to figure out if you can get Jeremiah Tillman to stay, Mark Smith, you're recruiting him, and then Io's the next class. But I said, you know, how quickly does Andre Curbelo get put on the table as someone you need to go after? And he said it might have been a week.
Wow.
That it was probably one of, if not the very first player that Antigua was like, when I get out on the road, I'm going to see him.
Interesting. Isn't that great? I mean, and obviously there's the family tie that Orlando played with Curbelo's dad, right, professionally in the Dominican Republic. Oh, wait, was it Dominican Republic?
Puerto Rico.
Or Puerto Rico. I knew I was saying that wrong. Okay, so that's interesting that would be one guy that they would immediately go after. Adam Miller has decided that he's going to make a commitment on the 21st. The other day when we were talking about this, I was totally lost. Like, I didn't even realize what month it was. Like, because I had said something like, well, you know, we will have played Michigan and hopefully beat them by then. And then I started thinking, well, hold on a second. That's coming up here. Like, the 21st is like a week from now. But what he's doing is, essentially, today is the first day you can sign through the 20th. So that's the signing week, I guess, if you will.
The early signing period, yep.
So, yeah, the early signing period. So then what Adam Miller's going to do is basically make his commitment, but explain a little bit more. Now that I'm kind of in tune with everything again and actually understand what I'm talking about finally, explain now the pros and cons of him committing on the 21st, even if it is Illinois that he commits to. What are some pros? And obviously the pro would be he said your name and he's verbal to you, but what are some of the pros and cons about the fact that he didn't sign the national letter of intent?
Well, see, you're not alone because everyone's trying to get in tune with what Adam's actually going to do because he said a lot of different things recently. He's talked about December, and then he said January is around his birthday is when he actually wants to decide. But now he has made it known that the 21st is his commitment date, And he told Evan Daniels, our national guy for 24/7 Sports, that he's not going to sign, and then the 21st is when he's going to commit.
Okay.
And something that I don't want to say, it is what it is, really. Someone tweeted and said, well, this will give him the opportunity to stay open for other options. And okay. He quote tweets and says exactly, which doesn't make the team that he's going to commit to, which, you know, until he commits, we don't know.
Right, but hopefully Illinois.
In theory, we don't know.
Right.
Quote tweeted that and said exactly.
He said exactly.
Oh.
So then you're like, well, that's not.
Okay.
So what would be a couple of reasons he wouldn't? Okay, so let's say.
No, I just hate recruiting.
I do too.
Like, if I could never do this.
Yeah, right.
And this isn't even just on Adam, but like as an assistant coach, just seeing all the smokes and mirrors and stuff, like,
ugh.
I'd throw my phone on the other side of the room and just walk away. I could not do this.
I would need like 20 cell phones. I'm with you on that. So let's say. Let's just say he verbals to Illinois. What would be a reason why he would not ultimately choose Illinois? I guess one reason would be Io, after this year, decides to come back another year. Would that be a reason?
You're saying if he commits and then ultimately decides not to
Yeah, then
to
ultimately sign yeah. somewhere else.
I guess the two factors you could say, well, there, I guess a third would be, number one, Io, and I think that's the biggest one, and they don't dislike each other or anything. It's just the fact that Adam played with Io. They won a state title. But that backcourt has a different dynamic if Io and Trent are there and then Curbelo versus if Adam Miller comes in and Io's gone and then he gets, you know, this is how much we're going to rely on you to make shots.
Yep.
And your role is very different. He wants
big time.
He's talented enough to come in and play a major role somewhere as a freshman.
Okay.
If Io's gone, then that opportunity is there at Illinois. Another one would be, which I think matters to a much lesser extent, wait till to see if Illinois is going to make the tournament.
Okay, that's fair.
Is this a program that truly is ascending and living up to expectations
and
all that?
We talk about that all the time, right? And I assume recruits care about that, the fact that they want to go to a program that's winning. So I could see that. And obviously one of the three teams on his final list, although now Michigan is a team that he's at least going to visit. So technically four now, I guess, on that list. But Arizona, a team that that he's looking at as well as Illinois, they just beat you by 21, and they've got three freshmen, or two, especially guard-wise, one that, you know, all three are probably going to be gone. So next year, while we think Illinois could be the perfect spot, if Io leaves, come on in, and you got top billing, basically, with Curbelo and everybody else. Well, Arizona would have room for you as well. So
yeah.
I guess that's another factor. Somebody did ask, is it possible for him to sign on the 20th and just make it public on the 21st? But
yes,
it is possible,
it
right?
It is possible.
I mean, we've seen that plenty of times where all of a sudden, you know, a recruit signs, and then maybe it's 3 or 4 days later by the time they announce it.
Just for suspense, as soon as they sign, the program themselves can announce it.
Okay.
Of course, there would be some kind of agreement. It was like, hey, you're going to sign. We're going to keep it low key.
Right.
Until you do your thing. And then, oh, by the way, I'm committed and I signed. Which
could he, in theory, sign on the 20th, announce verbally on the 21st, but say he's waiting until the spring, even though he actually, like, could he wait until the spring to announce that he actually signed, even if he signed?
He technically could.
That'd be dirty.
I think then the program would kind of be like, well,
can't we announce this?
We can announce it.
Yeah, right.
You know, by rule, we can announce it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so he's not signing this period is the point.
I don't know what he would gain
from
that.
That's what he says.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But he said stuff and then things have changed, and I'm saying to you that things could change.
Right. And this isn't an Adam thing. This is like an every recruit thing where it's just such a fluid situation that I don't even credit to you for doing the job that you do.
Amen.
Here. It's so fluid that at any moment things could just completely flip and that would drive me nuts.
Trust me, it's
can we replay what Derek just said? That was hilarious. And he goes, and I'm telling you that things could change. You were scolding
me. I'm just saying he said things, and then things have changed, and he said other things, and now he's saying that he's not going to sign, but I'm telling you things could change again. Underwood was not able to talk about Coleman Hawkins today, so at some point Coleman is going to sign. Well, he's going to sign today.
Right.
And then later on, he's going to talk about Coleman Hawkins.
Okay.
And later on, he might be able to talk about somebody else.
Fair enough. That's fair. Now,
But with Michigan, are you worried? Just as a fan, because you've seen Michigan jump in with Xavier Simpson.
Right.
And you saw him do it with Colin Castleton.
There is a worry there, but not as much in this, because I feel like Illinois has done their due diligence for a long time. And I know we've been burnt by that before. Trevor's given me that kind of look. And I understand we've been burnt before, or burned or burnt by that before with a recruit, and I'm never, until they sign, I never feel really good about it. But I really honestly feel like they're so late to the party. And I get it. It's a new coach in Juwan Howard. He has some connections to Chicago, obviously. And I'm sure that's an exciting thing for a recruit to all of a sudden Michigan is interested in you as well. But call me stupid here on this one. It's strange, but there's no worry on my end about Michigan. My worry is more towards Arizona than it is. And in fact, I'm not even really worried about Louisville, although we owe them for Quinn Snyder. But I'm more worried, I think, in this process about Arizona than I am anybody, because it felt like for a long time, from what you were saying and from what I was reading, that Arizona and Arizona State both were kind of had his interest a little bit. And, yeah, you know, he went out there to see it. You've been out there. I mean, now that you've been, you'd be like, okay, I'm signing here. This is beautiful. I'm not
going
back.
That'd be cool going back there.
Like, right.
After the show.
Well, you can cover the signing, I guess, if he signs out there. No, that's not fair. Don't do that. But, you know.
I'll have what Lon's having.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Michigan.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Are you?
There's a direct Chicago connection with Howard, and there's literally two prime examples in the last half decade of players that have been stolen away from you and have gone to Michigan.
That's true. Okay.
I'm not like panicked or anything, I'd put my worries at higher than none, which you seem to be at.
If their involvement, which what we learn publicly is different sometimes behind the scenes, like if they truly just offered and truly just out of nowhere said, hey, now we want you, during signing week, and we just lost out on Amari Burnett. If that's how it really went down, which I'd be skeptical if that's how it really went down.
Fair enough.
Then they have no chance.
Okay.
If this has been going on behind the scenes, kind of like the Xavier Simpson type deal did, because if you recall, he took officials to Miami, Illinois, Wisconsin, set a date to commit, and then it was like the morning of the commitment, news broke. Oh, he was in Ann Arbor this past weekend. So, yeah, as Trevor mentioned, Juwan Howard connected to Chicago. His son played with the Mackard and Fire summer.
That's right.
So there are ties there, but
I'm pretty sure Coach K is the only one who could literally just walk into someone's living room and give them a phone call the day of and offer them and then have them accept.
Or Calipari.
Or that.
Or Cal. Yeah, there's probably a couple of out there. We've got more on that. I want to talk to you about this. I want you to kind of break down what Coleman Hawkins will be for Illinois. We can do that at the next break. I want to ask you kind of who we missed. I mean, obviously in the state of Illinois, you missed DJ Stewart, right, who is going to Duke. He's a five-star guard, basically Adam Miller's number two in the prospects, I think, in the state of Illinois, right? Or would that be right?
Yes.
And Stewart would be number one. You lost him. Namari Burnett, you just mentioned to him, he's going to Texas Tech. So was Illinois really in on Burnett at all, or did that just felt like Illinois wasn't really in on it?
They were involved. They didn't make the cut for his top 10 or top 5 or whatever he ended up. He didn't get that serious about Illinois during the stretch.
Neither of those really sting in terms of fame.
I agree.
Like Stewart went to Duke.
Yeah.
We knew as soon as Duke offered, like, well, okay, he's not going to come here. And
we're done.
It seemed to me like we were never in on Burnett. So
yeah,
I just kind of shrugged my shoulders at both of those.
There's Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy Catholic, which it's
St. Louis.
You thought you were the leader for a while. And then he ends up going to Creighton.
Makes no sense, because
Purdue was in the final
Kansas
list as well.
Too, right?
Yep. Kansas,
and then you
offer.
Think, okay, well, now the reason why he's delayed and not going to commit to Illinois is he's going to Kansas, then he goes to Creighton.
That is interesting. I don't know. I mean, would he be the Coleman Hawkins of this class? In other words, if Kalkbrenner would have said, I'm coming, then probably Hawkins isn't here.
I could see them still taking both, because Kalkbrenner's a true five, and Coleman Hawkins is probably going to play your stretch four.
Okay.
And the good thing is the immediate need isn't there, because you're expecting Kofi to come back another year.
Fair enough.
But it would be nice to get a five in to develop him. Jermaine Hamlin is now that guy.
Right.
And Kalkbrenner right now is a better player than Hamlin.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the state of Illinois that would have been on the fringe maybe? It doesn't seem like it was a huge class. I mean, then again, you got a kid going to
top heavy.
Yeah,
there weren't a ton of high majors outside of Stewart and Miller.
So Miller would be, I mean, he'd be the guy, obviously, after Stewart, of course, who is heading to Duke. So, that'd be big. That'd be big for Adam Miller. He's going to make an announcement on the 21st, so we'll find out about that and see what he says to that. All right, when we come back, I would like for Derek to break down a little bit more of Coleman Hawkins, what he'll be able to bring to Illinois, and also Josh Whitman maybe getting a raise soon. We can talk about that. We'll have drive time at 5:05. Around the world of Big Ten football at 5:30. The around the world of Big Ten football is getting a lot more interesting now that Illinois is 6-4.
Amazing what a difference it can make when you care.
It really does. Yeah. I emailed you today. I don't know if you saw it. I emailed you today about breaking down the seniors leaving the Illinois football team after this year. No, you didn't get that?
I didn't get that.
Boy, there's a lot of people not getting my emails lately.
The only one I got from you today said football recruiting guest.
Really? So you didn't get the other one?
Nope.
Well, that's it.
Never got it.
All right. Well, did you get it, Pipes?
No.
Wow.
What else have we been missing?
This is bad. Maybe my emails aren't getting to people.
I have two other names in the state for you real quick, though, that were involved. Marcus Watson, the point guard at Morgan Park, going to Wake Forest, and Martise Mitchell at Bloom going to Minnesota.
Okay. All right. So where was Watson going?
He's going to Wake Forest.
Wake Forest and then Minnesota on one of those. Okay. All right. So we'll get that done. We'll knock that out. But what I had emailed to you, Trevor, is
not emailed.
Or not emailed to you was the fact of I was going to look at, like, the seniors essentially on this Illinois football team, because I'm like all geeked up now about Illinois football. I can't talk enough about it. And I was going to talk about those that are leaving, you know, like the guys out the door and what we have in place already and what we need in terms of recruiting to get those in, because you look at next year's schedule and you look at it and it feels like a pretty conducive schedule to winning some games, and you feel like, well, not feel like, you do know that there's a lot of guys coming back for Illinois. If Bebe comes back, Brandon Peters will be back. I mean, you've got a lot of weapons back. Your offensive line returns 4 or 5. So I sat there and thought to myself, let's look ahead real quick, even though we've got all the reason to just stay in this moment. I wanted to just kind of look ahead to see what next year would bring for Illinois football, because I'm all geeked up about it.
Well, and the schedule, too, if we look at that.
Yes.
You have to start 4-0. We'll get into it.
Okay.
But say they keep winning out this year. I know Robert brought this up on Twitter today. And then they win the first 4 next year. That would be like 12 in a row.
Whoa.
If they win their next 2, the bowl game, and then they're going to win the first 4.
That's crazy.
Next year, that'd be like 12 straight wins.
That would be. I don't know.
Are we having this conversation?
I know.
And maybe I should pump the brakes here.
That 80.
No, I was just saying, it's crazy that it's even a relevant thought.
Well, that 83-84 team lost their opener, right? And then won like 9 or 10 straight, and then lost in the Rose Bowl to UCLA. I assume no Illinois team's won 12 in a row. I don't think.
No, it's over 2 seasons, so maybe.
Yeah, that's
one team
true.
Won 6 in a row at the beginning of one and 5 in a row at the end of
that's
another.
True. But I guess you could look at that and see. All right, so we'll do that. We'll do around the world of Big Ten football. When we come back, a possible raise for Josh Whitman. We'll break down Coleman Hawkins, talk a little more Illinois basketball recruiting. If you have a question for Derek or Trevor or myself,
Are you not taking questions today?
No, I'm not. Today's my off day.
Am I taking questions?
I always take Wednesdays off. 359-2255. That's 359-2255. Somebody did say, can you talk about Big Bad Kentucky getting beat last night to Evansville?
Let's do.
Interesting note there. The coach for Evansville has got a tie to Kentucky. We'll talk about that next. It is The Drive. If you want to follow us on Twitter, just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, as iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at ESPNU. Lon, you're messing me up with
I'm laughing. Because always texting Charlie's like, hey, Lon, you got to hit send. That email. I'll get in tomorrow to my inbox, and there'll be like 16 emails that I haven't hit send on. And then you can call me. Sal said I didn't get it either.
Yeah.
If Sal didn't get it, then I obviously did not send it.
I didn't get it, but you can get the show live at ESPNU.com. You can also go to YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
The Drive.
I'm Diane Ducey visiting with Calvin with Crunch Fitness, and they are coming to Champaign in the old Toys R Us location. Miles of cardio, free weights, group fitness, tanning, and you said childcare too?
Yes, we do offer childcare. We got to make sure everybody has a chance to work out.
So the first 500 just pay $1, and Thursday, November 14th, is when we're going live with this offer. But at midnight on Thursday the 14th, you can visit crunchchampaign.com.
You can sign up using promo code CRUNCH500, $1 down.
And get in on this deal. crunchchampaign.com.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven with a brand new grill from the Ace Thanks Grilling Event. This Saturday, November 16th from 11 to 2. Head to your local Ace for great deals, giveaways, and turkey grilling demos, showcasing our top brands like Traeger, Weber, Big Green Egg, and more. Plus, get free assembly and delivery on grills $3.99 and up. Don't miss the Thanks Grilling event this Saturday from 11 to 2 in your local Ace. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions. Free assembly and delivery for Ace Rewards members valid through December 24th.
Ace is a place with the help of hardware.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
The other thing that I'm curious about, that lawsuit with Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick was settled in February. The terms of that settlement were never, ever disclosed.
Right.
And they may never come out. I just wonder if part of that settlement would have been, if we can put this behind us and move on forward, there may be a way where either I, as Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, or the NFL in general, will say, hey, we'll do something to try and jumpstart you getting back into a team. It seems sort of arbitrary that heading into week 11 of the regular season is when this whole thing is going forward, and I just wonder, with the success of what we've seen from Lamar Jackson with his old offensive coordinator and with the settlement of the lawsuit, if part of this is like, this is something that we will do for you if we can put this thing behind us.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Trade Pros, whether you specialize in service or new construction, Ferguson knows firsthand how much work goes into a long day on the job, which is why we're committed to offering the products and solutions to get every job done right. With over 1,000 locations, an unmatched selection of specialty products, tools, and supplies, our pro pickup and same or next day delivery, you can trust that doing business with Ferguson will be the easiest part of your hard day's work. Visit Ferguson.com to find a counter location near you.
Be the hit of game day with Hickory River Smokehouse. Every get-together needs ribs, beef brisket, wings, and pulled pork. There's nothing better than real Texas barbecue, and no better place to get it than Hickory River Smokehouse. Throw in some of their famous sides, and it's a party. Whether you're feeding just the kids or the entire gang, you are covered. Call ahead and pick up on game day. Your guests will thank you. In Springfield, Urbana, Peoria, Decatur, and at HickoryRiver.com.
Shoes made from nature's original luxury superfiber? Then you need new Skechers washable shoes made from premium quality wool. To start, wool wicks away moisture to help keep you dry and comfortable. It's also super flexible and highly breathable. And not only do they keep you cool and comfortable in the summer, but Skechers washable shoes also regulate temperature to keep you warm and toasty in the winter. Plus, they're even washable. Discover the wonders of wool with Skechers washable shoes at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At The Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the whole job done better and faster. Get the lowest price on the things you need with bulk and volume pricing. Then get it all where you need it and when with buy online, pick up in store, or job site delivery. You save time and money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Experience Naya Restaurant in Champaign. Chef Dad Morrill talks about the menu.
There's a few mozzarella dishes, burrata, which is a fantastic kind of version of mozzarella. There's mozzarella di bufala, so we get a lot of stuff brought in weekly just from Italy. I like to use very authentic ingredients. We also have this really cool Japanese Robata grill, which is a high-heat skewer grill, so we can put things on skewers. So we've got a great chicken skewer, a ribeye skewer. Come in, get a little snack, grab a glass of wine.
See the menu at NayaRestaurant.com or experience it for yourself at 212 East Green Street, Champagne.
It's that time again to award the My Office Plus and Long's Garage Player of the Week. The Week 11 My Office Plus and Long's Garage Player of the Week is Hunter Anderson of the Paxton Buckley Lota Panthers. Hunter Anderson was involved in all the action in PBL's 27-7 second-round win over the Farmington Farmers. Anderson scored two touchdowns in the contest, with one of them being on a blocked punt attempt in the second half of the elimination game. Anderson this season has rushed for more than 1,200 yards this season. He has helped PBL average 35.1 points per game this season. The Paxton Buckley Little Panthers traveled to Princeton, Illinois to take on the number one seed in the northern half of the 3A state tournament in the form of the 10-1 Princeton Tigers. Congrats again to Hunter Anderson and the rest of the PBL Panthers for advancing to the IHSA quarterfinals. Good luck against the Princeton Tigers. IHSA Football My Office Plus and Long's Garage Player of the Week is also sponsored by State Farm Agent Joe Stovall, Prospect Bank, Claire's Automotive, and Rocket Motors.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Ducey will be at the new Crunch Fitness located at 40 East Anthony Drive in Champaign. She'll be there between 4 and 6. And guess what? The first 500 people can enroll for only $1 and then choose their membership. Plus, if you enroll for the $1 and you're one of the first 500, you'll receive a $125 Crunch swag bag. So you'll hear her on our sister station, Q96, 96.1, of course, tomorrow from 4 to 6. Now, that starting at midnight tonight, you use the promo code CRUNCH500 at midnight tonight. Get on there on CrunchChampagne.com. Use the promo code CRUNCH500, and you can be one of the first 500 enrolled, or at least attempt to be one of the first 500 enrolled. Guys, this is the old Toys R Us building out by the mall. So you can imagine there's a lot of room for fitness and cardio and free weights and group fitness and tanning. So it's a state-of-the-art fitness center, and Diane Ducey will be heading up our coverage tomorrow from 4 to 6 on Q96 with The Crunch. Sound like a...
The Crunch?
Yeah, the way I did that sound like a cereal with The Crunch, Cap'n Crunch. All right, it's The Drive. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. What were we talking about? We always talk about things off the record, or not off the record, but in commercials that seemingly we should carry forward to the show, and then I always forget. I went to break, though, talking about Coleman Hawkins, who, of course, today Brad Underwood could not talk about because he hadn't officially signed, but he's supposed to do that today at 5 o'clock. So in about 20 or so minutes, Coleman Hawkins will sign. What? Now, he's a four. What exactly is Illinois getting in Coleman Hawkins, Dirk?
Upside and skill, 6'10", very, very thin. Can handle the ball on the
that
perimeter.
Rhymed.
Yeah, there you go.
That was good. That was a little Dr. Seuss shit going on.
6'10", very, very thin. Unintentional.
Unintentional.
He has great skill. He can really pass. That's his best attribute, in my opinion, from what I've seen, is his ability to make plays on the perimeter. I think he fits offensively very well, because he can stretch the floor. He has a capable jump shot, needs to get more consistent. He can make plays off the dribble. But as I mentioned, physicality is not his thing right now. And it's okay, because he can come in behind Tev when Tev comes back, behind Boss Man, and Georgie at the four as well.
Right.
And have some time to develop and get stronger, because he needs to be a better rebounder, needs to show that he can show some toughness as an interior defender, and really just takes some time to develop. And I don't want to call him DJ Wilson at Michigan.
Okay.
But they're both from Sacramento, 6'10", late developing. DJ Wilson went to Michigan and essentially barely played for 2 years, and in his third year showed out and went to the NBA.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not saying Hawkins is an NBA-level player.
Got it.
I didn't think personally that he was as good as Zed Key, who they were recruiting and ended up going to Ohio State. But from a fit perspective and an upside,
that's really what they're going with.
I thought you were going DJ Williams there for a minute from Simi.
Oh, well.
When you said that, I was like, oh, wait a minute, I remember him. He went over to like.
Where in the world is DJ Williams?
I don't know. He went to Cutter, didn't he, and scored like 28 for Illinois or for Simeon. Remember when they took a trip over to like. Somewhere like
overseas.
Yeah,
he went to George Washington.
And he went to George Washington.
Yeah, and he went like yes, Alec.
He is still at George Washington
as of
right now. Yeah, he's a redshirt junior. I'm gonna try and find his stats real quick.
Was it Cutter that he went to? Where was the? It's one
Simeon
of those,
went to Cutter.
Yeah, they went to like some crazy like real. It's one of those rich countries over there.
Huh.
I promise they did, and he scored like 28.
I know what you're talking about.
And I was
I don't know exactly where.
This is like your email today. I don't even know where.
I actually got that email by the way. That's my bad. Yeah,
so take that, Sal, and always texted Charlie. I did send that email out. All right, you got anything else? I felt like you took a deep breath, and I haven't heard back from you.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. George Washington's website is a little bit different.
Okay. Well,
But yeah, he still is playing at George Washington, or at least he's, like, on the roster.
How could he still be there?
Carlton Bragg is still in college basketball. You guys remember that name?
I do.
Hasn't Charlie Moore played at, like, four colleges by now?
Yeah, he played against – we didn't talk about that. They killed Iowa, DePaul.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. They're 4-0.
Jalen Lyons went off in that game.
Did he really? How many did he have?
Yeah, he had a lot of threes.
He had four threes at least.
Wow.
He had maybe 17.
Is DePaul for real?
I don't know.
Iowa not for real.
Is Iowa not the team from Hoosiers trying to play in 2019?
Well, you know what?
Is that going to work?
I don't know. I don't know because do they still have the one dude with the one eyebrow? He's still there.
Garza, yeah.
Okay, so that's.
Hannon's been coming off the bench, and I think he was only 1-for-6 in that game.
Okay. Did they rush him back a little bit?
Maybe.
I mean, how do you go? I have so many questions here. How do you go from
we didn't talk about this enough.
No.
He went from out for the season to we'll play in a week.
Yeah, and he played in, like, the preseason game or, you know, that exhibition game, not preseason. But I'm like, how do you go from not playing at all this year to all of a sudden, I don't know, that's weird. Why are we talking about Iowa basketball? Well, because they got beat. And that's always fun. All right, today the News Gazette reported that Chancellor Jones proposed extending Josh Whitman's contract through June 30th of 2024. It would raise the salary to $750,000. I saw something on there that by like year three and year four, let's say 2023, 2024, Josh would be making upwards of about $850,000. So I don't think, especially now that everything's working out with Lovey and crew, and hopefully with Brad Underwood getting things straightened out. But even with that, even when they weren't going splendidly, I think Josh Whitman has done a pretty good job here at the University of Illinois. I think he came in really difficult times of what his predecessor Mike Thomas had done at Illinois. And the fact that he has secured so many of these funds for the football building, they're doing work. I mean, gosh, all the buildings all over, right?
And raising money for Ubbin right now.
That's right. That's right. And the Olympic venue, if that ever happens, with like with hockey and stuff. So
the Buckus statue.
Yep, that's right.
The Hall of Fame.
I think Josh is a guy that I think a lot of Illini fans truly feel his passion, his orange and blue passion. And I for one would be fine with that, absolutely fine with Josh Whitman knowing he's going to be here at least until 2024 and hopefully for a life.
Well, now there's an answer to we will win. It makes sense to
boom
to get this done.
I would just say, who do you think out there is better qualified to do the job right now?
Nobody.
Like, if for some reason,
I don't say nobody. I don't really know my ADs.
But like, if for some reason, hypothetically, both football and basketball just stunk up the joint this year, and for some reason he was let go, I'd be sitting there saying, who's better than Whitman to see us through this right now?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I think.
But you needed to see it in those two revenue sports. You can't have two whiffs on the biggest hire you make as an AD.
Would you, because we don't know yet if basketball, I mean, we assume, we hope that basketball is turning the corner. We've seen football now turn the corner. Then again, if they go 6-6, I mean, we're still happy they go into a bowl, but it's still progress big time. So if that wouldn't have happened, don't you think that in your mind, it would in mind that Whitman would at least get another chance at either hire? Like, for instance, if he had to rehire or if he had to hire another football coach or another basketball coach, I would assume an AD should get a chance to at least get two.
Yeah,
but maybe
I think
not.
The answer would be yes, especially if you didn't hang on to Lovey too long.
Right.
Like, say you go, all right, we're going to go another year. It's terrible. And then are you the guy that gets to hire that guy?
That's fair.
That's fair.
DJ Williams, by the way, is ranked as nearly invisible on KenPom.
Really?
George Washington.
Nearly invisible.
The DeMonte Williams category.
I saw a Lovey quote today about, you know, him basically saying the things that needed to be done when I got here, one being a new facility, which they got, and he credited his coaches for being able to recruit a lot of kids even with the old facility, and now that he's got the new one, you feel like that could take off a little bit in the recruiting front. And he also said, you know, the year that I've always kind of penciled and looked forward to is next year. So, and I know we had talked about that. Can we just get to that? Can we take a break and just get to next year's Illinois football team? I'm like dying to talk that. Is that okay? Is that all right with you, Trevor?
Sure.
Or do you want to talk more about Mike Schilt being the NL manager of the
year? I mean, we already interrupted important commercials.
We did.
We want to talk about Kentucky yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah, Evansville.
Oh, yeah. Because
Kentucky was a 24-point favorite coming into the game.
And the head coach, Walter McCarty, at Evansville, a kid from Evansville, the Evansville area. He and Chris Lowry, both from that Evansville area. But Walter McCarty, of course, played for Kentucky, played in the NBA with the Celtics, I know, for a long time. But Walter McCarty getting a win like that, and I heard a little interview with him that he said, you know, all the Kentucky fans were great. They weren't booing me. They were giving me hugs. They were like, congratulations. But that is amazing for the Missouri Valley. I remember Southern beat Indiana a few years ago, and that was a big win for the Valley. And I know, you know, the Valley has posted some big wins, not only in the tournament, but also in non-conference. But for Evansville to go to Kentucky in Rupp Arena and win that game when you're 24-point
after they
dogs,
just beat number one Michigan State.
Right?
I mean, they're clearly established as one of, if not the best teams in the country. And the other impressive part is, I think if you look at the box score, it's not like Evansville did anything like tremendous. Like they didn't overachieve in any. You look at one of those games, like a Winthrop beats Illinois, although Winthrop was actually really good that year. But you look at that and you go, okay, which guy in Winthrop scored 48? But you look at it for Evansville, and there wasn't like one go-to guy that just went ridiculous in that game. It was just a decent box score, and they won.
That's incredible. Is that what you get though when you get one and dones? When you have that kind of a program, do you subject yourself to this kind of a thing? Wasn't it Kentucky a few years ago? Well, that was the NIT. Remember
They were one seed in the NIT and lost to the eighth seed at home. I think it was like Rhode Island
something. Yeah, it was somebody like that. I remember that win. Darren said, was it Dubai? I think it was Dubai. The DJ
that sounds right.
And Simeon.
Okay.
I mean, what a road trip for Chicago Simeon to head to Dubai to play basketball. I'm in on that. You know, somebody asked, can you ask Pipes if there are any current Illini basketball players that are set to graduate but still have a year of eligibility?
As to say, could they grad transfer out after this year?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. And Illinois would be full if they take, when Hawkins and Curbelo sign, now they're full. They've used their scholarships.
Yes, technically, but if you're counting Io, you still got one more.
Okay, then
and Kuma's out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and then Miller would.
Well,
Miller
sure,
for Iowa would be the trade. And then if you're bringing in Kuma still, you got to find someone else.
Okay. Got it.
You have to leave.
Okay. That's always as John Gross used to say, he can count. So that's.
But anyways, props to Evansville because that was impressive.
Another game that was on last night. Did any of you see Xavier and Missouri?
No.
Go to OT.
Drew one.
I saw somebody tweet about Jeremiah Tillman. It was a Missouri fan that said, has he improved at all in 3 years? That's exactly what they said.
This might sound familiar to them and anybody that's watched him. He got in foul trouble in the first half, and then Missouri could not score. He had 8 points and 4 rebounds in 23 minutes. Mark Smith, 2 of 11 from the field, 2 of 9 from three. They lost in overtime 63-58.
Good.
Illinois fans will probably take some joy in that. At the same time, you might want Missouri to be a decent opponent when you face them in St. Louis next month.
I agree, because there's not a lot of decent opponents on that schedule.
Them in Miami.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. Our listeners are awesome. Ken said the proposed hockey venue and the Olympic sport venue, two very different things. Thank you, Ken. I actually knew that, but I just didn't say it right, so I appreciate you correcting me on that. And then Kentucky lost to Robert Morris in the NIT.
It was Robert Morris, yeah.
That's awesome. That dude's good. That dude is good. All right. We don't have time now to talk about Illinois. Can we do that at 5:05?
It's your
drive time, yeah.
I'm dying to do that. I'm dying to talk about this. we didn't spend a lot of time on it yesterday. Let's talk about it now. Mike Schilt did get manager of the year in the National League.
I was going to say Trevor could choose between future of Illinois football or Mike Schilt, whichever one you want to go with.
Now, the Cubs did hire somebody as their new scouting director today, and he was with the Cardinals. Guy, yeah. So that there you go.
Hey, you guys might be able to find some pitching.
Got a lot of frustrated Cardinals fans on Twitter, so I'll take it.
Dan Kantrovitz. How about the Astros cheating? Does that bother you?
Yeah, there was a good breakdown on that. Somebody went and found, like, billions of old highlights where the banging noise can be heard right before a certain pitch comes, and then the guys hit home runs on those pitches.
And this
pretty damning. I mean, like, I mean, it's good. Well done.
I think when you're filming it and you're recording it, in other words, I think that's where it crosses the line.
Yeah.
I think there's the, hey, I got a guy leading off second. If he throws a two down,
that's
if the catcher,
game,
like in high school, let's say, he throws a two down, adjust your helmet, and I know a breaking ball's coming instead of a fastball.
The catch with this was, it was like milliseconds after the catcher threw down the sign that the banging noise could be heard, so it was clearly some type of, like, advanced camera in center field that was relaying it to the dugout.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really bad.
They were banging on a garbage can in the dugout.
Yeah, or on the bottom of the dugout, Brett Gardner style. I'm not sure which.
Wow. Or I think I read one where they were clapping, like somebody
Something like a certain
clap.
But it just comes so quickly after in the videos that this guy put together. It comes so quickly after the sign for the pitch that it can't possibly be something from a human eye.
I remember in travel ball one time we were playing a team that was out of the Chicago area, and it was like the semifinals of a tournament. It was here in Champaign. And the other coach was calling the pitches, and I was watching him from our dugout, and after an inning, I had it figured out. Like, like he was doing something when he wanted to go off speed, or, you know, and if he didn't do that, it was fastball, right?
Probably sitting on a bucket, like, right in,
In
the entrance,
it was almost like he would pull up a sleeve or something, and then the next pitch would be a changeup or a curve, and I remember asking our coach and then talking to the players, I'm like, do you want to know? Because I could cough or I could, you know, I could give you a, come on. You know, like if I clap and say your name, that means an off speed's coming. And every one of our players, they're like 12 years old. They're like, no, I don't want to know. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I think it was just like, I don't know what we're doing, coach.
If you're that sloppy with it, though, I have no problem stealing signs.
That's true. Right.
That's why you see a lot of people, like, cover their hand when they're talking or something on the mound, because you're just being sloppy with it. But this is something different.
Yeah, right. And now they've gone to the new where they, you know, they keep changing it up even.
Yep.
So it used to be just guy got on second. It was just different set of signs, right? So if one was fastball, two curve, now all of a sudden three's fastball, four is curve instead of changeup. Two's your changeup. So
in one of the videos, the opposing pitcher from the White Sox catches on.
Oh.
In one of the videos that this guy went back and found, and he calls the catcher out, and they switch everything up, and then the guy strikes out.
Okay, see? And Mike Fryer, who was a former former pitcher for the Astros, is kind of the one
now
that
on a team rival in that same division, lets it out of the bag.
Interesting. Well, it's not a good look, I don't think, to the Astros. For some reason, I'm not up in arms about this.
I don't know. I mean, Yu Darvish struggled in that World Series, and they said he was tipping pitches. Maybe this is what they meant when they said he was tipping. I mean, I don't know. The stats are heavily in their favor at home pitching versus on the road pitching.
Okay.
And the evidence is really strong that they've been doing this for years.
So what would you do in this situation?
I don't know.
Knowing that,
but it frustrates me.
Knowing that teams, let's say, steal signs all the time. But now knowing that this team, the Houston Astros, had video and were recording this to do it, it takes it to another level in my mind. So I wonder now what Major League Baseball does. They're not going to take away the World Series.
No. Have to trade Bregman.
Oh, maybe we get Luno back. Maybe they make Luno come back to the Cardinals. How about that?
All right.
I don't know. Would you replace Mazzaloc?
For some reason
Luno?
We said Luno, I thought of Hector Luna. I was like, if we get Hector Luna back.
Oh, my. Put him
nice
with
utility with Tommy Edmund. We have the best utilities in the game.
That'd be pretty solid. He was like one of those. What do you call those guys that you pick up in the? What was it called? A rule? Do they still do that?
Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, or so, and then they have to stay with your team all year, or you automatically lose them. Hector Luna was
Contreras that guy. Was a Rule 5 pick.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think the story was that the Cubs put him out to offer as a Rule 5 pick to someone else, and luckily no one took him.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that. All right. Somebody said something bad about Gross. I'm not going to say that. Are the Illini still pursuing?
How's Akron doing?
Michael Foster. Are they still pursuing Michael Foster?
Who's yes, that? Michael oh, Foster, who is from Milwaukee and now playing out in Arizona. Chin Coleman's recruiting him. He's playing at a school in the Phoenix area.
We have breaking news, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know how. We used to have a tab. Here it is. Trevor.
What?
Ken, the texter.
I was going to say something about it.
Just said something positive. Ken is one of our texters, and we appreciate anybody that listens, anybody, even if you're negative on your text. But I actually sent Ken a text a couple weeks ago, and I said, do you ever send anything positive? Ken just said, like Lon, I'm very stoked for 2020 Illini football, which feels odd to say, but I'm loving it. Is this the same Ken?
Yeah.
So when we come back at 5:05, because of this, we're going to look ahead for Illinois. Is that all right, Trevor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I run the thing now?
Yeah, you're the producer.
Okay.
I got to do that. So you're the producer. All right, let's do that when we come back. I want to look ahead. We'll do Around the World of Big Ten Football 5:30. If you have any other questions about Illinois basketball recruiting, basically Andre Curbelo signed. Coleman Hawkins is getting ready to sign in like 5 minutes. And we will wait for Adam Miller to make a decision as well. So if Adam jumps on board, then you would have Curbelo, Hawkins, and Miller in this class, a good recruiting class for sure. And as mentioned, Connor Milton from Champaign Central, he signed today with Illinois baseball with Dan Hartlib's squad. So a junior at Champaign Central, now a senior. I'm looking forward to his senior year to see how well he does with Central. I know he really was good last year. So we'll do all that, but we'll look ahead at Illinois next year. Who are the seniors? Who's going to replace those seniors? And the schedule, because I know Trevor talked about that, how Illinois should be 4-0. There's some favorable matchups on that schedule next year. So we'll look at all that. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. Again, 359. Call. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.